Step 1. Define what wealth means to you. This will place you in a position to work towards it. Turn the pages of history, and with each century, the concept of wealth changes. 10,000 years ago, wealth could have been a sharp spear or axe. 8,000 years ago, it could have been a basket of fish that you exchanged for a bag of rice. Indian ancestors living many millennia ago bartered with cowrie shells that spread as far as China and Africa. In contrast, today we see cowrie shells on beach shacks, hippie motels, and braided in the hair of Rastafarians. To our ancients, these people may have been unimaginably wealthy. Similarly, in the age of the Mahabharata, cattle were a commodity. Could the ancients ever have imagined a time when humans would brandish rectangles of plastic that, with one swipe, could buy everything from grain to airplanes? They surely would never have imagined that there would come a time when money would be bits of data encrypted over large networks. So, let's always remember this: money is merely a concept, albeit the most powerful concept ever to grip human consciousness. It runs our world and turns our lives topsy-turvy. Many say that to master money is to master life itself. Wealth is a shifty, dynamic thing. Just as the concept of what constitutes money has changed over the years, the idea of what wealth is can be different from one person to the next, even though they may live in the very same neighborhood. It can also vary from time to time for the very same person. Whether you're wealthy or not also depends on where you live and to whom you're comparing yourself. A person in America earning $50,000 per year is squarely amongst the median household earners. But compared to the rest of the world, he or she is in the top 1% of the wealthy. You can live like a king with a salary of 20,000 rupees per month in a village, but in Mumbai, you are shunted to the margins of daily existence with that kind of money. Here's a little nugget for you. In a survey conducted by UBS, Americans with assets of $1 million to $5 million were asked if they considered themselves wealthy. Only 28% of them said yes. Please remember that these are some of the richest people in the world. Why do they not consider themselves wealthy? When questioned further, for some, being truly wealthy means having enough cash to handle any expenses without liquidating their assets. For others, being wealthy just meant having peace of mind. Think about what being wealthy means to you. The you part is fundamental because no two persons will offer the same definition of wealth. Only once you know what being wealthy means to you will you really be in a position to work towards it. Step 2. Make a plan. Wealth does not arrive overnight. Is it a coincidence that in the 12th century England, the word wealth meant well-being and happiness? It seems that people in the so-called Dark Ages had a better idea of what wealth is, or what it should be. In the same spirit, American poet and philosopher, Henry Thoreau said, "Wealth is the ability to experience life fully. Finding what you love is the most important part of the puzzle. Uncovering your goals in life is the biggest favor you will do yourself. When you find your passion, loving the hustle will not be a chore, but something that will govern your life." A causal study of most billionaires around the world will show you that when they started out, their motive was not to become super rich but to do something great. And that is the secret of wealth. Having a dream is a must. It keeps you going and lets you forget the challenges of the daily grind. It helps you face the curveballs life throws at you. And remember that a goal is simply a dream with one's eyes open. According to the author, wealth is about passion. Don't obsess about money, but do be mindful. Be patient, but also don't hesitate to grab the bull by its horns when the right opportunity presents itself. Ride the wave and find your greatness. It's tempting to think of wealth building as a fairy tale. But here's the truth: unlike Cinderella's story, wealth does not arrive overnight. Most wealthy people, and you could be one of them, are years in the making. But remember to be flexible. Think of your plan as an optimal GPS route taking you from one place to another. The route may require you to take a flyover when you leave home, but if an accident has clogged up the flyover, you may need to reroute through interior roads to reach your destination on time. Similarly, be firm in your convictions and keep the end in mind, but don't be blind and get stuck in traffic either. The author suggests splitting your monetary goals into short, medium, and long-term goals. Short-term goals, achieve within 1 to 2 years. Examples could involve buying the latest gadgets, an iPhone or a DSLR camera, or taking an exotic vacation. Medium-term goals, achieve within 2 to 5 years. These could include buying a new car or home. I would add preparing for any hitch in your plans under this too: a recession, a layoff, a bad investment. Being fully prepared for them should be high on your medium-term goals. Long-term goals, more than 5 years, saving for your children's education or wedding, your retirement. Also, the most important, getting your average net worth up to the mark. Step 3, beat inflation by investing in equities. India's inflation rate has been on the rise over the last decade. At a compounded annual rate of nearly 8%, it's a major wealth destroyer for people across classes and regions. The American stand-up comic, George Gobel, rightly observed, "If inflation continues to soar, you're going to have to work like a dog just to live like one." Besides having a bearing on the daily price of commodities, inflation affects the interest rates paid on savings and mortgages. It also influences pensions and other government benefits. You might be saving your money diligently, but the actual value of your hard-earned cash is constantly being diluted because of rising prices. While we all crib and stew to let off some steam, inflation has serious economic consequences for our lives. So, what exactly have you done about inflation? When you beat inflation, your wealth grows automatically, regardless of rising prices. This is when you gain true freedom. Between 2004 and 2014, prices rose by about 8.4% per year, which means that inflation during these 10 years was at 8.4%. We can look at this from another angle. Let's say in 2005, you were spending $140.60 per month on living expenses. Because of inflation, in 2015, you need to spend $316.35 per month to maintain the same lifestyle. Against this inflation rate of 8.4%, let's compare the various investment scenarios from 2004 to 2014. The bond index gave a return of 7.8% per year. In effect, if you invested in bank fixed deposits in 2004, by 2014, your money would have actually reduced in value by 5.4% because of inflation. Certain bond funds managed to outpace inflation, returning 9% per year marginally. In effect, if you invested in bond funds, your money had no real growth. The BSE Sensex returned 15.7% per year, and diversified equity mutual funds returned 20.9% per year. So, if you invested in equity in the same period, your money would have seen real growth of 7.3% per year and 12.5% per year respectively after adjusting for inflation. Step 4, plan your expenses, run your life as if you were its rightful CEO. To some people, getting rich is about spending less. To others, it's about earning more. Unfortunately, if you're earning more and spending more, you'll just stay where you are. It's like running on a treadmill. Factor in inflation and, in the long run, your returns will be negative. Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants, Tilda Epictetus. There are numerous high-income professionals who have ended up with no savings despite a successful career because they lived a high-consumption lifestyle without having an expense plan. Planning your current expenses is a part of investing in your future. When you take time out and make an expense plan, you're doing your future self a favor, and trust me, you will thank your past self for this. One needs to make a mental note of what the famous painter Pablo Picasso said. "I'd like to live as a poor man with lots of money." You must gain control over your money, or the lack of it will forever control you. It sounds old-fashioned, but honestly, being thrifty never went out of style. Frugality has been an important part of many a billionaire's success. On the flip side, the world of the rich and famous is also littered with many illustrious business families that have fallen upon hard times. This happened because they failed to instill the value of money in their children. The very basics of expenses comprise budgeting. I'm a firm believer in treating your household expenses like that of a company. If you were managing your company's account, would you really splurge on that $2,800 sofa for the office? Here are some ways of running your life as if you were its rightful CEO. Watch your bank account. Live below your means and set money aside for investing every month. Start a sinking fund. This is simple. Open a separate savings account where you put money away for a big purchase sometime in the future. Transfer funds to this account, and forget about it. Bonuses are for saving. It's nice to treat yourself after that nice bonus. But do you know what is nicer? Investing that money so you can grow it to treat yourself even better in the future. Congratulations, you got a raise. A naive person will blow up that extra monthly income. What will an intelligent person like you do? That's right, put it away and invest it. Budget all expenses. Don't let your spending get out of control. There is a simple way of managing money. Budget each expense. Budget all expenses. Don't let your spending get out of control. There is a simple way of managing money. Budget each expense. Step 5. Create additional income streams. Through the years, there have been a few cycles of economic downturn. Things get bad, they hit rock bottom, and then begins the slow process of recovery. I know many young people who were left shaken when the financial bubble burst in 2008. Of course, they were traumatized. It was the first global financial crisis of their lives. It's not easy seeing friends and colleagues being handed out pink slips on an otherwise normal work morning. We spend most of our waking hours at our workplace. Love it or hate it, it starts feeling like home in our minds. And to be turned out so cruelly will leave anyone reeling. On the other hand, it was common for our parents and grandparents to work for the same company their entire lives. In today's MNC-rich corporate landscape where the economy's fluctuations are matched by companies' attrition rates, this sounds old-fashioned and bizarre. The fact is that generations of yore had the liberty to stay put in the same job. Security was the name of the game. But with today's volatile economy, as well as the multiple opportunities around, there are lots of exciting developments but also a high degree of uncertainty. When you live with the possibility of having the rug pulled out from under your feet without warning, is there something you can do to bolster your financial security? Yes, two things: create multiple sources of income, and invest. We're living in the information age where it's easier to start a business today than it has ever been before. And if that business involves something that you love to do, it's pure win-win, isn't it? With super hectic lifestyles, people in urban India, for instance, are constantly looking to outsource chores to simplify their lives. Look for gaps. Are you good with words? Professional blogging may suit you. Do your Facebook posts get 100 likes? Is your retweet quotient going through the roof? Have you considered social media marketing? Do your quirky outfits always elicit admiring comments? Personal styling is very much in demand these days. When setting up a side business, don't forget to brand yourself. A clear website selling your USPs and services is a must. Make yourself comfortable around technology. Digital on-demand services that could use your services are mushrooming all over. For example, TutorVista provides online tutoring via Skype, StyleCracker delivers online styling services, and Ola Chef is an online home-cooked meal provider. There are numerous jobs that you can do on the side. Some of these that I have come across are: online tutor, language coach, blogger, columnist, writer, social media consultant, personal chef, caterer, baker, researcher, app designer, web designer, graphic designer, photographer, astrologer, videographer. Step 6. Harness the power of compounding. Your money should generate more money. Money is a great servant but a bad master. These words are as true today as they were in the 16th century when Francis Bacon uttered them. Money is indispensable to us. Again, and again, I keep coming back to the same point: it is up to us to use money in a way that makes us happy. It is also entirely in our hands to fritter money away, to spend life in misery chasing money or recovering money. The author was asked a trick question by a chartered accountant once: what is the single creature in the world that never sleeps? He struggled for an answer. The accountant put the author out of his misery by providing the answer. Interest, he said. Even when you are asleep, the interest clock on your loan keeps ticking. Thus, money can work round the clock to multiply or deplete itself. The question is whether you want to master money or be mastered by it. Which brings us to the corollary to budgeting: generating additional sources of income and saving, investing. In the long run, it's not just how much money you make that will determine your future prosperity. It's how much of that money you put to work by saving it and investing it. Tilda Peter Lynch, investor and fund manager. Now, if you save your money in your wallet or lock it away in the safest vault in the world, your money will only be worth what it can buy today. But for me, money needs to be worth more. Money should generate more money. Remember that stagnation is like death for money. Like we've already seen, if your savings are not growing at a rate that outpaces inflation, you may as well be lighting up your hard-earned cash instead of fireworks on Diwali Day. It is losing value. Stamp out the fire quickly. On the other hand, if you're investing, not only are you growing your money, you are creating more of it to invest further. Compounding is the main trait of investing. Compounding lets you earn not only on the money you are saving but also on the interest that your money is earning. Let's understand this with a great example: the Provident Fund, or PF, account. As a salaried professional, PF can be accumulated as long as one is employed. In a way, it's an enforced discipline that helps you save. Because the PF amount is deducted from your salary by the employer, you don't even feel it, and your money continues to grow over the years, reaching a substantial amount. The PF fund is a humble avenue but a powerful one. On maturity, it helps millions of people to buy a home, live comfortably after retirement, or pay for the weddings of their children. Step 7, build assets, not expenses. This will help you generate as much passive income as possible. It's a path we're told to tread since we're young. Study hard, get a good job, save enough money, buy a car, get married, buy a house. Settle down, as our parents would say. Buying your first car or your first home is often an emotional moment for people, the final brick in the tower of growing up. It proves that you're a responsible adult, taking care of your present and your future, investing in assets that will take care of your family and pay dividends for years to come. But are all assets created equal? Robert Kiyosaki, in his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, said, "The philosophy of the rich and the poor is this: the rich invest their money and spend what is left. The poor spend their money and invest what is left. Rich people acquire assets. The poor and middle class acquire liabilities that they think are assets. An asset puts money in your pocket. A liability takes money from your pocket. An asset is a fluid term. Anything of monetary value is an asset. This includes cash or equivalent, physical cash, bank savings accounts, fixed deposits, real estate, property, land, and house personal valuables, anything that you own a value. Think about jewelry, vehicles, artwork and collectibles, furniture, clothes, etc. Investments, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, life insurance policies, precious metals like gold, silver, and so on. To the author, an asset is anything that generates income now and has the potential to appreciate over time. Assets are anything that puts money in your bank account. An easy way of separating assets from liabilities is to ask yourself this: if I were to lose my job today, what will bring me money and what will cost me money? Living in a fancy apartment in a beautiful location will not bring you any income. However, buying such an apartment and leasing it out can generate a steady source of rising income. Spend money to acquire assets. Assets can help generate income, thus eventually allowing your assets to work for you. Collect as many appreciating assets as possible. This, in turn, will help you generate as much passive income as possible. Step 8, make the wealth trinity your friend. In the world of finance, there exists a holy trinity. The trinity of risk, return, and time. Risk. Risk is inherently tied up with a reward. From taming fire and domesticating wild animals to open heart surgery and landing on the moon, some of the human's biggest feats have come from people stepping outside their comfort zone to try something different. In the world of finance, the risk is usually measured as the degree of uncertainty in an expected outcome. Risk is the possibility of losing some, or all, of the original investment. Determining your risk appetite can be tricky. Of course, risk tolerance differs from person to person. It is tied to your income, lifestyle, goals, and approach to life. In order to meet the increasing financial requirements of daily life and maintain a good standard of living, we not only need to save money but also need to invest it in avenues where one can get maximum returns. However, as the return expectations increase, so does the risk. In that sense, risk and return are two sides of the same coin. Returns. The word return can be seen in various ways. Absolute return: let's say you invest 100 rupees. 6 months later it is worth 120 rupees. Your absolute return is 20 rupees or 20%. Annualized return: the absolute return adjusted for 12 months. Taking the example above, the absolute return was 20% over 6 months. It means that the return over 12 months would be 40%. Internal rate of return, XIRR, the annualized return over an extended period of time for a set of cash flows that could happen over varying time intervals. Time. The wealthiest of people did not build their fortunes overnight. Enter the third element of the trinity, time. American money advisor Dave Ramsey says that building wealth is a marathon, not a sprint. Return and time are joined at the hip. When you have a long-term investment like land, even when it underperforms, the temptation to pull it out is low because the investment is illiquid. The danger of rash decisions comes with liquidity. When investing, divide your time horizon into the following time buckets: short-term time horizon, less than 2 years to invest, low-risk investments such as fixed income instruments. Medium-term time horizon, 3 to 5 years to invest, mix of equities and fixed income based on your risk appetite. Long-term time horizon, more than 5 years, a considerably higher proportion of equities. Step 9, have an asset allocation strategy to diversify your risk. Asset allocation refers to the collection of investments you own. A good portfolio has a diverse selection of uncorrelated investment types, which are called asset classes. Uncorrelated, say what, you might exclaim. Let me introduce the concept of uncorrelated investments here. If you invest in different instruments that are all tied to the same market risks, for example, direct stocks and equity mutual funds which have the same direct stocks in their fund, chances are that these investments will rise and fall with the market in the same time frame and proportion. This is for the simple reason that they are correlated. So even though you may think you have spread your investments, you have actually not diversified the risk. For this reason, your asset allocation program must include investing in uncorrelated assets to even out market risks across your portfolio. Your asset allocation should be a mix of uncorrelated investments which will help you meet your financial goals at a level of risk you're comfortable with. Here are some points to help you determine your allocation: determine your time horizon, determine your allocation, understand your risk appetite, know yourself. Determine your time horizon. Your time horizon is the number of years before you start needing to use your returns. This is important because your patterns of savings and consumption vary as you grow up and move through life's phases. Long-term time horizon, for investors who have a long time to retirement, a portfolio with 80% to 90% in equity and 10% to 20% in fixed income is said to be an ideal mix. A long-term investment horizon can tolerate short-term volatility in the stock market. Short-term time horizon, however, for someone who is approaching retirement, it is advisable to have a more balanced mix of equity and fixed income in their portfolio, say 50-50 split between equities and fixed income. Determine your allocation. A classic rule of thumb is that the percentage of equity in your portfolio can be calculated by subtracting your age from 100, i.e., percentage of equity in your portfolio equals 100 your age. So, if you're 30 years old, you should keep 70% of your portfolio in stocks. And if you're 70, you should keep 30% of your portfolio in stocks. This is the simplest way to determine your allocation. Understand your risk appetite. A great way to gauge your tolerance for risk and losses is to test your portfolio to see how it would have performed through a number of scenarios. By looking at the performance of certain asset allocation strategies over time, you can determine how the losses and gains over these cycles would have made you feel. This way, you can get a better handle on your investment decisions if similar circumstances arise in the future. Know yourself. By now you would say to yourself, my mix of assets has to strike a balance between my desire for comfort now, and my desire for comfort in the future. The reward for taking on more risk is the possibility of a higher return. So if you have a longer time horizon, it makes sense to invest in assets like stocks and bonds that have a greater risk. With time, the volatility in return is tempered down. Step 10, understand asset classes. Any asset that has a real-time value and can be converted quickly and easily into cash is a liquid asset. On the other hand, illiquid assets are those assets that cannot be easily converted into cash. Publicly traded equities. When you buy publicly listed equity, you are actually buying a small piece of a company. So, when you purchase a share, what I refer to as a stock in this book, in a publicly listed company, you become one of the co-owners of the company. This is why if the company does well, you prosper. If the company suffers, your stock value goes down too. Since you have a share in the company, you have rights to some part of the company's profits. The company may pass this on to you in the form of dividends or bonus shares, or may reinvest the profits to make your stock value grow further. Mutual funds. A mutual fund is a simple way of investing in a diversified portfolio. Mutual funds pool the money of many investors and construct a portfolio of stocks, bonds, and related instruments, chosen by qualified managers. So mutual funds allow you to purchase a collection of stocks, bonds, or other securities that might otherwise be difficult to do on your own. The main advantage of a mutual fund is that it allows you to spread your risk across a diversified basket of investments with only a small amount of money. Fixed income schemes. Fixed income is income earned from an investment at a standard or more or less predictable rate of return. Corporate and government bonds are examples of fixed income investments, and so is a fixed deposit. What exactly is a bond? The best way to understand a bond is to think of it as a loan. When you invest in bonds, you are lending money to the government or a company. In return for this loan, the bond issuer will pay you interest for the term of the loan. Bonds provide mostly regular, stable returns because you know how much money you will get back at the end of your term. On maturity, you also get your principal amount back. Insurance. Insurance protects us from all kinds of financial risk. Life insurance helps us secure our loved ones in case of our death. Health insurance allows us to get proper medical aid without worrying about the costs. Car insurance protects us from bankruptcy in the unfortunate event of a collision. A good insurance policy is priceless when it comes to protecting against risk. There are some kinds of insurance that work as investments too. In these cases, besides the death benefit, the policyholder receives an assured sum before his or her death, when the policy expires. As is expected, you pay a much higher premium for these. There are some benefits of insurance as an investment. The returns are tax-free. It can be used as collateral against loans. And they provide additional benefits in case of critical illness. Conclusion. When it comes to financial matters, the more informed you are, the better you will be able to evaluate the risks and returns. Is it possible to prepare for risks? Yes, it is. For a smart portfolio, diversification is of utmost importance. The right investment mix will help you get the balance between risk and return. In simple terms, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Try this: keep a watch on your bank account carefully, start a sinking fund, save and invest bonuses and raises when they happen.